Hello and welcome to Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing radio broadcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work. So I have the great pleasure of meeting today Maja Maricic, who works for the European Commission's Spokesperson Service, the SPP, as Information and Communication Officer and as Multimedia Editor. So thank you, Maja, for accepting our invitation and for actually inviting me in your office in the Berlaymont.
Thank you, dear Caroline, for the interest in the work of the SPP and for having me here.
Yeah, actually, when we first met, Maja, I remember that you told me that DGT was the SPP's first key partner. And I know that the SPP is one of the very important customers of DGT. And when I told colleagues in DGT that I was going to meet you, I raised a lot of interest and I got a lot of questions. So it shows that it's very interesting for us in DGT to talk to a member of the SPP who can tell us, you know, firsthand how you are working and how we are collaborating. So first, what is the Spokesperson Service and what does it do?
The Spokesperson Service is the official voice of the Commission vis-a-vis the media, the written, audiovisual and digital media. And we provide information about policies, about decisions of the Commission to the press. But we also have a proactive strategy with which we strive to ensure positive media coverage, objective media coverage of the Commission and its policies.
We say Spokesperson Service, and spokesperson is in singular. That is a bit of a linguistic question here. But I understand that there are many spokespersons. So how many spokespersons are there, and who do they represent?
Indeed, there are many. There are 15 spokespersons alongside the chief spokesperson and deputy chief spokeswoman. Each of the spokespersons is in charge of media communication related to a specific portfolio he or she represents, meaning that we are entrusted with a range of policy areas, of course, be it trade, digital single market, home affairs, economy, agriculture, foreign affairs, of course, etc. But spokespersons are supported by a team of press officers and press assistants specializing in these policy areas that I just mentioned. And aside from that, the Spokesperson Service also comprises the SPP01 unit, the unit where I work in charge of multimedia editing, speeches and liaison with our representations in member states. And of course, there is also a group of people dedicated to tasks regarding planning and coordination and horizontal support. So the work is pretty big, and we have a team of almost 80 people who are working on this every day.
Wow, 80 people. And what does a typical day in the SPP looks like?
The core part of our work is focused on our daily midday briefing, where we engage actively with the press through a press conference. So usually our mornings are to a large extent devoted to preparing that daily press conference. When we scan the news, we scan the social media, looking to prepare ourselves for potential questions. Throughout the day, we remain in contact with journalists, responding to their questions, to their queries, either via email, phone, or in person when we give statements. But we also issue various press material, regardless of whether we're asked or not. This is the part of our proactive communication. So when we do that, we work very closely with the relevant DGs. Mm-hmm. So together with them, we prepare and design communication material on Commission proposals, be it those that are on the college agenda or those that are drafted and proposed separately from the college.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, aside from that, we are very busy organizing press events. So aside from the daily press briefing, we also organize special press conferences if they're concerning a certain event, but also background briefings where we engage with journalists and try to explain certain policies in much more detail.
You mentioned, Maya, that you were in SPP01. So your team, what does it do specifically?
Yes, this unit is in charge of multimedia editing, speeches, and liaison with representations in member states. So our tasks vary from, as I said, preparing speeches for a president of the commission, von der Leyen, transcribing president's media appearances, her speeches as well, liaising with representations in member states to make sure that our lines are coordinated and consistent, for example. Multimedia editing and producing communication products around major policy initiatives, including by developing multilingual web pages.
Mm-hmm.
And the special project of this unit is, of course, organizing and coordinating the entire communications around the State of the Union speech. I personally work mostly on digital content, creating web pages for Commission's priorities. Just to illustrate, at the moment we are of course currently very busy, and we are managing the entire web hub of pages that are communicating our actions and support to Ukraine.
So, as far as I know, the main content that we get from translation from the SPP are press releases, president's speeches, the State of the Union address, so it's what we call SOTEU, and web content, obviously. I was also a web translator, so I probably got some content to translate from you directly. So would you say that there's other content that I missed that I didn't mention, or is it mainly what comes from SPP?
Yeah, I think you've covered it well. I think we have a range of press material. Of course, press releases is the key sort of anchor in our press material. But when we always tend to complement press releases with the so-called questions and answers for journalists to be able to go into the details a bit more. And fact sheets as well, where we try to translate these often complex proposals or language into something that is more user-friendly or something that is meant for a bit wider audience.
Mm-hmm. When I mentioned press releases, I know that I got quite a lot of questions from translators who were wondering who are the writers behind the press releases, what we call PPs. What background do they have? Are they usually journalists, or do they tend to be experts? And also, do they get their material from the DGs? What is the procedure behind a press release?
Yes, that's a very good question. Press releases, as the rest of our press material, as I said, questions and answers, fact sheets, is developed in close coordination with relevant DGs. So the input is first solicited from experts, people who work on, who are dedicated to files, certain files, and then is converted, if I can say in inverted commas, into material that is ready-made for journalists to use. And this is the role of the SPP, to take that content and to translate it into something that journalists can use off the top of the shelf, and can, so that we, of course, help them to write their stories as efficient and as quickly as possible. So overall, many people work on this, from technical policy experts to my colleagues here in SPP who have very diverse backgrounds. Some of them have a background in journalism, in media, in communications, some in public policy. So it's a very good combination of skills and experience.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a bit of a tricky question, which is the question of versions, because in DGT, when there is a press release coming, usually there are several versions. So one version, and then the second one, sometimes a third one, and obviously one of the questions I was asked was, could the SPP send more stable versions towards the end of the process rather than several non-stable versions? And if not, what are your constraints?
Yeah, the same constraints. We have the same constraints, and we share this concern with colleagues in DGT because this also means a lot of work for us. We wish we could work on a single file, but we try to send stabilize content as much as possible, and we always make an effort to send the file at a very advanced stage, where we know we have integrated the majority of concerns, feedback, and comments. But there are often additional interventions. Sometimes it is because the topic is still developing, it's very current, and we are designing material around it, and we are aware that there might be additional information we might need to include or remove. Sometimes it is because many stakeholders are involved. Of course, that can complicate the process. And sometimes it is also because this type of material undergoes internal validation processes, and changes occur last minute, often proposed on a political level.
We were wondering as well, is there a sort of audience analysis? Does the SPP get feedback from the medias? Or do you have figures of how much the PPs, the press releases, are being used by the medias? By whom are they used?
Yes, we do. We do monitor how our press material performs, how it's picked up, of course, and how it echoes in the media. This is for our own evaluation. It's a very important step. It's an essential element of our overall communications approach. We rely on media feedback in other ways as well, because we maintain daily communication and exchange with journalists, often very direct in person. Mm-hmm. We can also share some numbers with you, and I hope your DGT colleagues will take some pride into mm-hmm. this, because only this year, on average, per month, 2 million visitors visited the press corner.
Oh, that's impressive.
Right? So uh-huh. 2 million per month. This means that we at least tend to think that this material we issue there does make a difference in the work of journalists who report on EU affairs in Brussels, but also all over Europe.
Mm-hmm. And one translator asked me, are translations sometimes used in between versions? She had the impression that sometimes in her translation, she had clarified a point, and that in the next version, this point that was a bit unclear in the previous version had been clarified as well. So it would be interesting to know if our translations sometimes are used to sort of make a better version of a PP. Is that the case?
Absolutely. It is very often the case. And I have to say, it is always reassuring for us to know that we can rely on you for your efficiency, for your professionalism, and the experience you have in working on these files. And we are extremely, extremely grateful for the thorough reading you perform, and when you alert us very often of expressions that would need clarifying, and this really helps our process a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know. That's good to hear. Uh-huh. Because it's true that translators are the first end user, in a sense, of your text. And then it goes to the public, but we're the last step before the public.
It's like a test audience.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a very critical audience.
Yes, very
eyes. Yeah, definitely. Now, if we go to the president's speeches, I know that in the French department, we have a dedicated team of 10 translators who can be contacted anytime when a speech needs to be translated. And we were wondering, who decides the topics and the content of the speeches? How do the speech writers work?
That's a very big task that falls in the remit of the spokesperson service, writing speeches for President von der Leyen. President von der Leyen is extremely active in her public engagements. We feel it, I'm sure DGT...
We do feel it as well, yeah. She's a very good communicator.
Yes, she's a very good communicator. She takes up a lot of invitations. Some of these things are, of course, her regular appearances, for example, when she speaks in front of the European Parliament at the EP plenary sessions, so things that are recurring. But, of course, she engages in various types of events, often upon invitation of others, of third parties. Therefore, the topic of the speech is something we cannot always entirely influence, and we cannot ourselves decide on that. But at the moment, you can tell that she's, of course, talking about the most current developing issues. If you look at the past few weeks or months, the focus has been always on Ukraine, on our actions to support the country, on our actions in response to Russia's aggression, and then everything we're doing to stabilize the energy situation, and more recently, of course, the international engagements and everything that has to do with the security of energy supply in Europe.
Now, coming to the State of the Union address, what we call SOTEU. So this is a speech which is delivered each year by the President of the Commission on the progress made, the challenges and the priorities of the EU. I know that an info session has been organized recently by DGT with DGCOM members on SOTEU. So just in a few words, is there a dedicated team busy with SOTEU all year long, or when do they start working on SOTEU?
Yes, there is indeed, and that is the team where I work in, the SPP01. We are in charge of organizing the entire communications around SOTEU, and for us, it is always more than a speech. It is one of the most important political and communication moments of the year for the Commission, because you rightly pointed out that it is a moment when we present the progress made to date, and we also offer a roadmap for the year ahead. It is also a collective exercise that involves more than 200 colleagues from numerous services, from the Secretariat General, DGT, DIGIT, SCIC, OP, DGHR, DGCOM, of course, OIB, etc. Yes. Okay. So a very, very wide range of colleagues working on this.
Okay.
For all these reasons, and for everything to work impeccably in September, we start very early. We start in May.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not stop after the president has delivered her address. We invest a lot of effort in reporting, monitoring, assessing the lessons learned of this process, etc., throughout the month of September. And every year we make improvements. And we are extremely proud that for 2 years in a row, thanks to the efforts of DGT, we have managed to publish the president's speech the moment she stopped speaking in 24 languages,
mm-hmm.
which is an incredible challenge, and it's an incredible feat. Believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it's a target that would have been impossible without DGT's support. And we said those were the Herculean efforts
mm-hmm.
in the night from 13 to 14 September that you helped us made it happen.
I know there is there will be a training or there has been trainings called, is it called One Day in the Life of the SPP or One Day in the SPP, something like that you organize regularly and that I guess DGT members are welcome to attend. Could you tell us more about that?
Yes, absolutely. We organize the so-called One Day in the SPP. It's a 1 day of online sessions for everybody who's interested in the work of the SPP. It's followed by a 1 day of shadowing, where a colleague can come and choose a team where they want to learn more and see in a more hands-on approach how SPP works, attend our meetings, go to the press room, and engage in these events in person. We do that to, of course, to present the SPP's work to the colleagues we work with most often, of course, but also to everybody who's interested in this, because it's an interesting position that we have inside the DGCOM and inside the Commission, where we are at a certain crossroad between the DGs, the President, the public, the media. And a lot of interesting things and projects happen here. And of course, we want to use this one day in SPP also to build and nurture our connections with a sort of very, very diverse profiles of colleagues that we often rely on for mm-hmm. our work, and they rely on us, I hope, as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think we are getting towards the end of our interview already, but I was wondering, as a conclusion, would you have a message that you would like to pass on to DGT as a member of the spokesperson service?
Yes, I don't. What else to say but that you're doing an incredible job. We do our work with the mission to reach as many people in as many corners of Europe as possible, and we could not be doing this if it wasn't for DGT. That goes without saying. If it wasn't for your professionalism, for your dedication, for your often 24/7 availability, mm-hmm. for your very, very precious help. You provide us with comments, you provide us with suggestions, corrections, while doing your job, making sure our messages, President's messages included, are factually, grammatically correct. So keep up the good work. We look forward to marking many more milestones and campaigns together with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Maja Maricic, so Information and Communication Officer in the Spokesperson Service. Thank you for finding a bit of time to talk to us in DGT, and thank you for welcoming me in your office. It's been very nice and extremely interesting, and I hope we'll have other occasion to collaborate.
Thank you, Caroline. It was absolutely my pleasure. As I said, we look forward to this collaboration, and we're always happy to welcome DGT colleagues in this one day in SPP program, where they can speak to the colleagues in person and get to know in more detail what we do.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Thank you, you too.